except that he wrote this in 1973. So as we have this call to worship, let's keep in mind what Thomas Jackson was sharing with us. We are called to be God's people, showing by our lives His grace, one in heart, one in spirit, sign of hope for all the race. Let us show how He has changed us and remade us as His own. Let us share our life together as we shall around the throne.
Water. Glad to see everyone here today. We got people from Indy, someone from Sioux Falls, and one who came the furthest, Denmark.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy the fireworks last night?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't even know they had them. Couldn't believe it was a barge burnt in Big Spirit Lake. And I didn't know if they got it repaired to do it last night, but we didn't hear a thing, so I'm glad that you got to see them. So, Steve, you're here.
Yeah.
You want to say something?
Let's say that.
Oh, here.
All I can say is for the people online.
I know.
Hey, I just got back from a great trip 2 weeks ago.
Come on here.
Okay.
So everybody can.
I didn't dress for success today. You
know? You're dressed for Oklahoma.
I am. But we had a great trip to Tanzania. Took a dozen med students and three med students, and we did medical outreach. We saw 1,500 patients in 3 days. And I felt compelled that we were doing a lot to heal the body, but not touching the soul. So I wrote out a little tract that said, what is STEM? And then a paragraph that said, who is Jesus? And at the end of this 2-day, 1,200 patient endeavor, I was just wet, because we were sleeping in tents and freezing our petunias off, because it was so cold at night, and I was dressed for Africa, and eating goat meat, and I was so exhausted, and I'm thinking, oh, I hope this was worth it. And I am dragging my butt to the bus, and here's three little Muslim boys with that tract, just so engrossed, reading for the first time what Jesus was. And so it was a great trip. The medical students all really came to Jesus in a real way. Three young guys who were, you know, like I was back in those days, drinking beer and chasing girls, and all of a sudden they found Christ in a real meaningful way. And we talked about that, and it was just an amazing trip. So thanks for everybody's support here, and we're going to plan to go back. I'm going back next month for 2 weeks. Celebrate my birthday with my son.
I thought you were just there.
I was. I'm going right back. Well, there's a big thing called Operation Walk with another nonprofit that's secular, but I partner with them, and we're going to take 40 people and do 50 joint replacements in 3 days.
Wow.
So it's a big deal. And I'm celebrating my 65th birthday on August 6th. And my son is taking me on safari. So
that's great. Thanks.
Thanks for having me.
In Sioux City?
Yeah.
Kind of what, that's what he does. He's a doctor and surgeon. It's just in case you're here and you didn't know that. So there's another one here. I know that Barb, where are you? Barb Rolfe? Where are you?
In the back.
Way back there. I want you to speak in the mic because for our Zoom people, they got to hear what you're saying.
Good morning, everyone. I promise not to talk more than a minute.
I'm going
to
make sure she
because, you know, he has to keep tabs on me. So anyway, I just want to remind the women in the church that we're having a luncheon on this Wednesday. It's our first tea ever. We're having it just like an English-American tea. And we're going to have a program. We're going to have lots of goodies. And please come. It's at 12 o'clock and probably will last a couple hours. So bring your finest little hats or and a teacup, and we'd love to see you when that happens.
Are you
done?
I'm ready. That's pretty good. Thank you there, Barb. Now, if you don't have a teacup, what do they do if they don't have a teacup?
I have extras.
Or a hat.
We have extras too.
We got extras, okay. Just want to make sure so people go like, I don't have a teacup, I don't have a hat, I'm not going to go. That is not an excuse to not come, right?
Right.
All right. Glad to hear these things that are going on. Makes the announcements much more exciting. Do you know who the Gandhi dancer is?
No.
I'm just going to let you know the person is here today. That's all I'm going to say. You got to find out that person. idea? What do you think it is? You don't know. Give me a clue. It's not your grandma.
No.
Well, I just want you to know that Vacation Bible School is coming. And talking to Amy just this past week, there's only 16 kids that have registered. So just want you to know that. If you want to register your grandkids or you know somebody, a neighbor that would like to send their child or children, that would be great. But make sure you just let Amy know that that's what the plan is. And I can just thank Danny. I don't know Danny's last name right offhand, but she has made a great painting, a life-sized Daniel that will come out during Vacation Bible School. And you're going to go like, wow. It is really something. If you thought the lighthouse from last year was something, Daniel beats that. And that's in my office. So keep that in mind for Vacation Bible School. That's going to be starting the last day of July and goes into August. It's 4 days. And kids, you don't want to miss this. I also want to remind the church council, you've got a meeting this Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. And is Curtis Jazz here? Curtis here?
Yeah.
Where are you, Curtis?
Yeah,
we're back.
Way back? Oh, there he is. There's a glare out there, I can't see it. Anything new with Marlene?
No.
Nothing new, okay. Keep her in your prayers.
More tests next week.
Okay, find out more when he sees the doctors here next, this coming week. Appreciate that. And now comes the time that we're going to answer these questions in the bulletin. Who is the Gandhi Dancer? I didn't even know what a Gandhi Dancer was. But Joe Symington.
I'm the Gandhi Dancer.
It was an ever event.
I did it with my clothes on.
That's something to do with the railroad.
Yeah, the Gandhi Dancer, I worked for the Rock Island Railroad one summer and we laid their rail. Mm. And the Gandhi Dancers were the ones who drove the spikes into the ties with a sledge.
Yeah, did you guys know that?
It had a head on it about like that. And so you really had to be really accurate with it. It was kind of an art to do that. But anyway, they called them Gandhi Dancers, and I think I'm right on this. When we built the railroads in the 1800s, a lot of that work was done by Chinese people. And I think that's where the name came from. I don't know just how it originated, but they were the Gandhi Dancers.
Thank you, Joe. Who grew up in Leeds, Iowa? Do you even know where Leeds, Iowa is?
I know.
And
I know
who grew up there. Carol Benton. Where is Leeds, Iowa, Carol?
It's a suburb of Sioux City.
It's a suburb of Sioux City.
It used to be a small town. Okay.
Who was a farmer from Odebolt, Iowa?
Jim
Rolfe. Who was a boxer? Who was a boxer and traveled around boxing? Dennis Klein was a boxer. Who was a mortician and a funeral director?
Ron
Knudsen. That was no surprise. Who played football for the Iowa State Cyclones?
Steve Letcher.
And me too.
And who?
Me too.
You did? Anybody else play for the Cyclones? They were really hard up. They took you. That was okay. Who grew up with fathers or dads were pastors? Who grew up with their dads were pastors?
Was it me?
Denny Kelly grew up with his dad was a pastor.
Paul Thompson.
Who?
Paul Thompson.
Yeah, Paul Thompson.
And Roger Jacobson.
And Roger Jacobson's dad was a pastor.
I'm not Sharon Paul.
So there were three. And who once lived in Malta, Montana?
Carol.
Think that through for a while. Think that it is Carol. And who planted a peach tree this year?
You.
No, mine's been there for 5 years.
Jim.
Who planted a peach tree this year? There are two people in the church that have planted trees this year.
Dean Ramsey.
Dean Ramsey's one, and Jeff Kyle. And that's just a little something. There's other things in the bulletin, but you can read those for yourselves. Let's just have a little prayer before we turn back over to the place. Heavenly Father, you know, sometimes we come together week after week and kind of little things we don't even know about one another. It's good for us to worship together. It's good for us to know some things about one another and sometimes things that surprise us. And so we pray, Lord, too, for Curtis and Marlene as they continue to doctor and find some answers to her swallowing that's taking place, some tests that will be going on this coming week. We pray that you give the doctors and give them wisdom to know what to do, as well as just be there with Marlene and to give her peace, as well as with Curtis as well. And we just thank you, Lord, too, for the family of Walter Meyer. We're here today, and the refreshments that follow the service today has kind of been in memory of Walt, just a year ago, that he has been gone from us. And so when we eat the ice cream and we have the cake, we think of Walt here today. And if there's something that we want to be mindful of to tell others about Walt, may that please happen today. And so we are grateful for Cheryl and for providing the refreshments after the service here today. Lord, refresh our hearts today. Spiritually, from hearing your word and singing your songs, the words to the songs, may we find that there is a true spiritual rest that this world cannot give to us, that comes to us through Jesus. And so we thank you, Lord, for each and every person that is here today. Regardless of where they come from, we're just glad that they're here with us. May your blessing be upon us all. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You are the peace, and my soul is in you.
I love the Lord, for he heard my voice, he heard my cry for mercy.
Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live.
The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me.
I was overcome by trouble and sorrow.
Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, save me.
The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion.
The Lord protects the simple hearted. When I was in great need, he saved me.
Be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. Heard this many, many years ago, and you've probably heard it many times yourself.
But there can be someone here today that's the first time they've heard this. Jesus is speaking. And so Jesus says this: come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for these words that has brought peace and real rest in the lives of countless people throughout the centuries. And there may be someone here today who needs this kind of rest that you're talking about here. And he or she sense your closeness and see the invitation or the call to come to you this morning and to receive what only you can give. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. When we think of rest, we usually think of taking a vacation, right?
It's called retirement.
Or we think of retirement. Now, both of those, going on vacation or in retirement, we find we're busier. Comes vacation, you can't wait to get home because then you can really rest. In retirement, you're more busier than you've ever been before. And you don't find a whole lot of rest in retirement either. Well, the call of Jesus, or his invitation in this text, is for people like us. People who are weary, burdened over something, over someone. And Jesus promises to give rest. A different kind of rest than what the world can give. The world cannot give this kind of a rest. Only Jesus can. So do you need this kind of a rest today anymore? Are you here this morning in need of this kind of a rest? Doesn't mean to go to sleep during the sermon, but a rest. We know that God is speaking to you and inviting you and calling you to come to his side. The background of our text here today is it's following after Jesus sent out 72 disciples. This is after he did this with his 12 disciples. Later on, he sent out 72 more disciples who went around the Sea of Galilee, different villages, different towns in that area. And when they came back, and we find that in Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 24, that the 72, when they come back, they're telling their stories of what God has done, just like we heard today from Steve, going over to Africa. And there's a lot of joy going on, a lot of celebration going on. As they get together, you're like, you will not believe what happened to us and what the Lord did to these folks, to these people. And so the disciples that had gone out, they're amazed at what they had experienced. They saw miracles they've never, ever seen before. They were actually a part of that. They're instrumental that God used them to bring those miracles to these people. And so as Jesus listens to these stories, you know, you'd have to see that they have a little bit of a smile on his face as he just listened to these 72 disciples of his. And seeing that they were just marveling Where for him it's like, yeah, it happens all the time for him. But to see their excitement also would speak to him, and he just had a little smile on his face, but then he says something quite interesting. He says to them, Luke brings this out, "Don't rejoice over what you have seen and done." Like, don't get all excited. You know, you're excited about a lot of different things, but don't get all caught up on that. Be excited about this, that your names are written in heaven. That's something to be excited about. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life this morning? You might ask, well, how does it get in there? Who writes it? When we come to believe in Jesus, it's automatic. Our names go in that book, the Lamb's Book of Life. It's a book of life. It's not a book of death. A book of life, eternal life. And when the books are open and they look for your name, are you going to be afraid of that? Scared that it won't be in there? Or are you going to be like very confident of saying, I know it's in there? Remember, as a youth pastor many years ago, there was a skit that we did where people would come up thinking that their name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and then the angel that was in the skit kind of goes like, it's not there. Sorry. And they had a lot of reasons why they thought their names were in that book of life. But only the very last one in the skins said, I know my name's in there. Because I believe in Jesus and I gave my heart to him. I'm living for him. I know my name's in there. And the angel looks. And sure enough, the name's written there. Where everyone else has been rejected, the angel says to this person, hey, we've been waiting for you. Come on in. You can enter now. It's a great skit. We find that the name of the book in Revelation chapter 21, verse 27, the Lamb's Book of Life. It is called the River of Life in Revelation 22, verse 1. And this river is crystal clear. It comes from the throne. It's amazing. Philippians, Paul talks about people who have been, whose names have been written in this book of life. In chapter 4, verse 3 and following. So what I want to impress upon you today is this, is that Jesus calls the weary and the burdened. It's active and it's also passive in our lives. It's a call or an invitation to those who are weary and tired of doing. It is a call and invitation to those who are wore out from caring for the needs of others. And I know some of you have been caregivers over the last while, the last year. And you know what that takes out of you to be a caregiver. And I take my hat off to all those who have been there, who have done that. And sometimes we overlook you. We're glad you're there, but it's a big job. And no one knows how draining it can be, how burdensome it can be, how tough it can be when you're with a loved one who has been told that they do not have much longer to live. There's a lot of things that go along with that. We can be burdened by just worry, stress and fatigue. We can be burdened by trying to please God with the things that we do in life, thinking that God is going to love me more because I have done this and I keep doing this. It wears me out, but I'm going to do it because God sees what I'm doing for Him. Sometimes we struggle with bad habits, evil thoughts, dealing with disappointment and feeling defeated. Those can be active things that take place every day in your life. The passive can be just because of your age, you feel the weight of getting old. How many of you feel that weight? You just are like the old gray man. You aren't what you used to be. It can be getting feeble and suffering from ailments. And even to the incurable, Jesus says, come to me. Isn't that great? He doesn't care what's going on in your life or who you are. You may be down on yourself, but Jesus still says, come to me, and I'll give you rest, regardless of where you're at in life, what the circumstances are. You may have sorrow, you may be having doubts. You may be struggling with guilt and shame. Jesus still comes and says, come to me. Come to me, I'll give you rest. Are you weary? Are you burdened? How often does that happen to you during the week? And maybe you're here today, you're going like, oof, to me. I came to church and I don't want to think about those things that just pile up and stress me out. Come to Jesus. He can help you. It is a person who does not sense that weariness or that burden. If you don't sense that, you probably are someone who really is not listening to the words that Jesus is saying here either. His call is as wide as the misery of all humanity, and yet it's limited to those who are weary and burdened. So if you're here today and you're weary and burdened about something, leave it at the cross. Leave it with Jesus. And just say, Lord, I'm putting this into your hands. I'm not carrying this around anymore. Jesus knows all about weariness because he was the most weary and burdened man that ever walked on this earth. Think of that. He bore the sin of the whole world. You think that would make you weary and burdened? Jesus took the sins of the whole world upon him while he's on the cross. Because he loves you and wants to forgive you. And Jesus can handle whatever you may be burdened about here today. He can handle it. He's got big, broad shoulders. Give it to him. He goes on and gives a metaphor of a yoke. Do you know what a yoke is? Some of you know what a yoke is. It's kind of like a big collar that's put on like a horse or an ox. And you hook him up to a wagon, and that's where all the strain goes onto that yoke as the horse or the ox kind of pulls that heavy load behind them. And it's a heavy collar, a yoke is. It can be made out of wood, you know. Sometimes leather would be a luxury. It can be just plain an iron that's been bent, put onto a wooden piece that becomes a yoke. Put on an animal that is to pull something. Now, if you had to pull a load all day long, no doubt your head by the end of the day would be how? Would it be perky? really be kind of stooped over like, oh man, I'm glad that he is over. At the time that Jesus says this, the Jews were trying to keep God's law. Could you imagine trying to keep all of God's laws? And there was a group of Jews known as the Pharisees who were out there telling you when you weren't doing things right. The problem with the Pharisees, which was a group of upper class Jewish religious guys, the problem was this. The Pharisees love to point out to people where they're wrong, but they would never do it themselves. They didn't practice what they preached. We find in Matthew chapter 23, verse 4, it says, talk about the Pharisees, it says, they tie up heavy loads and put them on men's shoulders, but don't lift a finger to help. And yet they still thought they were very spiritual people. They were following God, and God was looking upon them with great favor. But people didn't like them for that very reason. They would like to point their finger, but they didn't realize that there's more fingers pointing back to them. They didn't do what they wanted other people to do themselves. And so Jesus says, take my yoke and learn from me. So there's things we learn about Jesus from the scriptures that we probably wouldn't learn otherwise, but we know that he was meek. Meek doesn't mean he was a pushover, but he was gentle. And he was a humble person. There's no one more approachable than Jesus. You can go to him, and we still can go to him at any time. He cares and he listens. He'll let you vent. He'll let you talk as long as you want, and he'll listen. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. That's what he says about himself. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 29-31. Some of you have read this. Some of you have heard this before. It says, he gives strength to the weary and increases power of the weak. Even youths, the young people, grow tired and weary. And young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They'll renew their strength. They will soar on wings like buzzards?
Eagles.
They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. That is the hope of the promise we have. If it doesn't happen here on earth, it will happen when we're in heaven because of Jesus. So a yoke is meant not to be carried by yourself. It means that Jesus is helping you carry that yoke. He will carry it for you. I want you to think of this for just a moment. What is the worst job you can think of that you hated to do? What was the worst job? Think on that. In life. Doesn't have to be today or last week. When in life was the worst job that you just hated to do? My mine was at harvest time. When the granary was getting full, someone had to go in on the top door and shovel the grain to the corners. And it was oats. And if you know anything about oats, it's itchy. And it's summer and it's hot. And you sweat. And so when you go inside the granary, guess what the temperature is? It's hotter in there than it is outside. And I never wore a shirt growing up. And so I'd go inside, put a hanky around me because it was dusty, and go in there and try to do it as fast as I could and get out of there as quick as I could because it was a miserable job. Another one was when you had to put hay bales in the barn loft. You had to stack all the bales inside the loft. It was always hot. It was never cool. Or to clean the gutters with the milk cows. Had to be cleaned every day. What was your worst job that you remember? Oliver?
Windexing.
Windexing? Yeah, that's easy, terrible. We got a lot of windows here. You need to windex. But now think of this. Once you think of the worst job you've ever had to do, now think, you go to do that and someone has done it for you already and they say it's done. How do you respond when you find it out? I don't have to do it! Thank you, thank you, thank you for whoever it was that did it for me. Jesus did the worst job ever for you and me. He did it. He died for your sins as well as mine. He kept all of God's commandments for us. And Jesus is the one who is pulling all the weight. What we put on his yoke, our sins. Jesus says, come to me. All who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. He goes on to say he wants to give us rest for our souls. Do you have that rest today? You have rest in your soul, a spiritual rest. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for doing it all for us. Thank you for going to the cross. Thank you for being crucified. Thank you for taking all the beatings, the mocking. You did it for us. Can you just simply say, come to me, and I'll give you rest. Lord, I don't know where everybody's at here this morning with you, but you do, because there's nothing you don't know. But today can be the day for someone here. It can be a young person, it can be an older person, it can be anyone in between. But we don't have too many in-betweeners here. But you asked us to come. You don't force yourself on us. You just say, come. And we come by faith. knowing that you are the Savior of the world. And you want to be our Savior, personally. So all we have to do, it's like with any invitation or any kind of a call, we answer it, we say, Lord, here I am. Or we respond, we say, I'll come. I'll be there. So Lord, forgive me when I failed you. When I failed my neighbor. Forgive me. And help me to just live for you. Thank you for your forgiveness today. And come into my life, into my heart, and show me how you want me to live. I need your power. I need your strength to do so. So, Lord, I'm in your hands today, teaching what that means. I pray in Jesus' name. Let us pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us stand as we recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He ascended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. I just remember the times that I went to church as a young kid, and this would be said at that time, even though I did not know what it really meant. But just to hear it over and over again, over time, it made more sense. So I'm just glad to see that there's young kids out here in the sanctuary. And maybe you kind of said, I've said that for 60 plus years. And it's just starting to dawn on me what that really means. So I mean, repetition sometimes is difficult, or you might say, why do we have to do it? But we don't know how God's going to use it in the life of somebody. So may the Lord bless you and he keep you. And may his face shine upon you today, through this coming week, until we meet again.